Well, folks, good morning to you. We're here again, and we're in the month of August. We're delighted that you take time to continue to tune in to us and to listen. And again, thank you for permitting us virtually to enter your home and spend these few moments together. In Exodus chapter 13, you come across this particular portion of scripture. Let me just read it to you for a few moments and then just share a few thoughts around it. And it says these words in verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be a token upon thine hand and upon the frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through, led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he had for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and they camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people." You know, folks, as I was thinking about today, this morning, and thinking about what we would just share together, I'm mindful as I've just come back home from our travels to Yorkshire. And maybe for some of you, your travelling is done over the summer period, holiday-wise that is, and maybe some of you are on holidays, and maybe some are yet to go on holiday. And yet one thing, as we go on our holidays and as we're on our journeys, the thing that comes to my mind is that we're always looking for guidance. We're always looking to know if we're going in the right direction, the right way, so that we might get to the right destination. And if we've planned, for example, we head to Yorkshire, I'm not saying I know the whole route off to the back of my hand, but I'm 99.9% sure that 0.01 Karis keeps me well and true right on. In fact, she keeps me right and a lot more than just 0.01, but I'll go from here to Belfast, across the Stranraer, Kinraghan Way, and then get on the head down toward the motorway there at Penrith Way, and then across the A66, and then down to over to Scotch Corner, and then straight down the A1, and then I'll come off at the junction for Ferrybridge. And all the time, folks, there's reminders, and they're not small reminders, but they're very clear reminders that I'm on the right direction. You know what they are? They're called signposts, things to guide us, things to lead us. And for many ways, folks, whenever the children of Israel were about to leave the land of Egypt, that night, whenever the firstborn of the Egyptians, all those who hadn't the blood upon the doorposts or the lintels, the firstborn would die. But for those who would have the blood upon the doorposts and the lintels, their firstborn would be saved. And the following day, they would be headed a journey. And there would be signposts for them, a very clear signpost by day. And you could say, not literally a signpost the way we know, but there was a guiding, a means whereby the people of God could be guided and led through the wilderness. And God wouldn't lead them the easy way. God would seem to be, as we look at the scriptures, that God would lead them a difficult way, a way that wasn't going to be easy for them, a way that they just, whenever they would face war, they wouldn't just tick their high heels and run back to Egypt again. But these people would indeed follow after God. And the signposts I just want to mention to you, and you know it, if you've listened, as you've listened along to God's word, it says that the Lord went before them, verse 24, by day and a pillar of fire, or by a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night and a pillar of fire to give them the light to go in the go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. How glad, folks, we are for the guiding hand of God in our lives, even though at times we have never deserved it, have never earned it, and have never, ever, for one split second, ever thought to ourselves, well, it's rightfully mine. But God in his mercy and God in his grace has been good to us in guiding our steps. In fact, you know, he reminds us in Psalm 119, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. And literally, folks, throughout life, we look for guidance along the journey of life. We look for means whereby God would show us that we might be on the right path and that we might be doing the right thing and we might ultimately be glorifying his name. And so we're glad this morning. This is not nothing new to you good folk. And nothing new at all. But we are glad today that primarily whenever God guides his people, his word is first and foremost. It's not the Spirit contradicting the word. It's the Spirit confirming the word in our lives. It's not the fact that the Spirit, that sometimes we live in a, so we are, I believe that we are living in a generation where people are talking about being moved by the Spirit, and sometimes we wonder because we hear stories of people who believe that the Spirit of God prompted them to do certain things, but that prompting seemed to be contrary to what the Word of God teaches. And you'll remember way back, well, you might not remember, but way back at one of the devotions at the beginning of lockdown, we mentioned how that Peter, the man who got distracted in the boat or distracted out in the water, there were two things that God used to confirm to Peter that he was in the right place and that he was doing the right thing. And we know, folks, that without a shadow of a doubt, that whenever Peter asked the question to the Lord, Lord, bid me to come to thee and I will come, the one thing that he desperately needed was to hear the word of the Lord, and that was the word to come. And we know that whenever he had God's word, he was in God's will. Spurgeon says these words, he said, in the Treasury of David, he says, each man should use the word of God personally, practically, and habitually, that he may see his way and see what lies in it. In fact, another old preacher said it, the scriptures is a practical guide, not a book for my study only, but for my daily walk. And folks, we know that as we look through scripture, we know we're glad that we have within that word and within this book we hold in our hands today the means to guide us, the means to point us in the right direction. We're glad that we have God's word that guides us. We're glad that God uses his servants to guide us. But we know that the primary purpose now, the primary means of guidance is the word of God. But we know that God uses his servants to guide us. We're glad that for many of us, in fact, Paul writes in Galatians, to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And so what the Apostle Paul was saying here, God was going to use Paul to bring the gospel to a people who have never heard. And so God was going to use his servants. And folks, in many ways, whenever we think of opportunities, whenever God has used his servant, Pastor Lawrence and other men who've come our way, and maybe we've come to church, or maybe we've gone to another meeting, maybe we've gone to a conference, or maybe we've come along to a prayer meeting, and someone just shared a little thought from God's word, and that word was just the means of giving us the right direction, the right time, and God spoke through his servant to bring light and to bring truth to our lives. I'm mindful, it's funny, I was also thinking today, I was thinking about how does God speak, and then I thought, sometimes God even speaks in our while we lie upon our beds. You know, he's not just confined to the house of God. We remember the young lad Samuel, whom the scripture says, although he was in the house of God, as yet he did not know the Lord. But we're told whenever he went to bed and he heard this voice, he went to Eli and he said, you called me Eli? No, I didn't call you. Back to bed, and again God speaks and speaks to Samuel, and he gets up, runs to Eli, you called? And Eli realized this is God speaking. And we're glad, folks, when God speaks to us. But we're glad that primarily his word is the means. But thank God also he uses his servants to touch our hearts, to reveal the way that we need to go. and it's a confirmation to our own hearts. But also we realize that in providence God works, as he works all things together, as we simply set things before him in prayer, and we say, now, Lord, I'm trusting you that as I am in the will of God, that you will open the doors that you want opened and close the doors you want closed. Sometimes in our lives, we put out fleeces, and we say, now, Lord, if this happens, then I know I'm in the right place. If this happens, I know I'm in the wrong place. I'm not doing the right thing. Revelations in the book of John, the Revelator writes in Revelation 3, I know thy works, and behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And so often God confirms to us these open doors he set before us, open opportunities. Sometimes we try doors, and the doors close on us, and we say, well, Lord, that was it. That there's no point in me, as were. It's not about crying over spilt milk. It just wasn't to be. And if it was to be, the door would open. Remember, this old classmate was dear friend, and he had a very simple motto. He said, if the door closes before it shuts, get your foot jammed in it and push it open. I didn't agree with him by any means, and I don't think it's a very wise thing at all. If a door is closing, folks, we let it close because we're trusting that door shut before us is not in the will of God. And sometimes, folks, can I tell you something? We're glad that whenever God sets before us open doors, and sometimes God unsettles us in the place where we are for the whole purpose that he might make us feel uneasy, unsettled, because he wants us to consider that there's another avenue, another means whereby he wants us to travel. Like whenever the mother hen and the bird up in the nest wants to get the young out of the nest and flying and away seeking out their own food, you know that the old eagle will start to make the nest uneasy for the young, and they will come whenever they'll have to be over the edge and learn to fly and away and fend for themselves. And sometimes, folks, God makes the nest uneasy to rest in, because he says, now it's time to move, it's time to be and to do what I want you to do for me. Folks, how glad we are for the children of Israel, these signposts, this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And how glad we are on this new morning that he has promised now. Get this now, folks. He has promised to be our guide even unto death. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help us today to know the guiding hand of God in our lives. And for some maybe tuned in are uncertain as to what the future might hold for them or what they should do concerning maybe their next a crossroads they find themselves at. May, Lord, you just help them to see that the right, that your road, as it were, turn not to the right hand or to the left, but just to simply to continue to do the will of God. Thank you for that wee word of scripture which says that I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And so, Father, we pray you'll lead us today and you'll guide us. And primarily, Lord, we'll look to your word as that means of guidance in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Thank you for your patience. And God encourage your heart today. Thank you.